Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we are attempting to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. I heard of a sign that was posted in the front lawn of a denominational church that read, and I quote, "Sleep in this Sunday. Worship with us Saturday at 6 p.m. End of quote. How convenient. In fact, why bother? Why not worship at home before the TV with a televangelist? Why not sing, pray, listen, and just mail in a small contribution? And so there you have it. You're finished for the week. Again, how convenient could it be? Is this not what modern Christianity is all about? Make serving God and worshiping Him as painless as possible? Yes, painless. God, His will, and His way has become a burden to modern society. Worshippers want mail-in contributions. They want drive-up communion. They want choirs to sing for them. They want a hired evangelist to visit for them. They want a brief service with a short sermon. And they want some Starbucks coffee and some Krispy Kreme donuts to help them to endure an entire period of worship. Friends, this is summed up in a computerized message on a church sign that flashed, quote, "Traditional worship 9:30, contemporary worship 10:30, end of quote. You see, this church is saying to the world, we will design our worship to please you. We will update it to appeal to your sensual needs. We will plan it around the demands of God's creature rather than the Creator. You know, this is all right if believers are not determined to worship by faith, according to truth. When God's people are not willing to return to the Bible worship of the first century church, then they just may as well follow their own desires and their own practices. But look at faith. You know, the biblical account of God-oriented worship reflects divine principles of acceptable worship. Cain and Abel, they demonstrate that man's offerings to God in worship must be based on faith. It's in Hebrews 11 and verse 4 that we read, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks." See, man, of his own desires as Cain, doesn't decide how or what that he will offer to God. To be acceptable to God, he believes what God authorizes. He yields to faith in obedience, and he worships according to truth. Jesus made that statement in John chapter 4, in verse 24, when he said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." God determines how he is to be honored. God determines how that he is to be served. And God determines how he is to be worshipped. Nadab and Abihu, they were chosen priests in Israel. They learned this lesson that we're talking about the hard way. You see, God authorized the burning of incense in the tabernacle from the hot coals that were on the altar of sacrifice. We read about this, and we won't take time to turn and read them, but if you're taking notes or can, read Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2, and also read Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 12. Here was where Nadab and Abihu were to get the fire that they were to use in the burning of their incense. Well, they, as modern worshipers who assume that after all worship is worship, Nadab and Abihu obviously decided that fire is fire, and they chose their own fire for lighting the incense. Well, their worship displeased God. Yes, believe it or not, their worship displeased God, and he sent fire from heaven to destroy them. And in explanation of all of this, Moses says, they offered fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. You see, it's important that what we do in worship unto God is according to what God has commanded. Then our worship will be according but to faith, because faith comes from the hearing and the hearing of God's word. Romans 10, verse 17. In fact, the Old Testament abounds with examples of disobedience. And oftentimes we refer to the Old Testament to show these examples. And that's only befitting, as it should be, because that's why we still have the Old Testament scriptures today. Not that we use them for the basis of what we're to believe in the practice, but on the basis of what, like what Paul said in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. He said, for whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Also, we use the Old Testament scriptures for what they were given to us for, as found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here's what we read in verse 11. In verses 1 through 10, we have the example of Israel being shown, of all of the things they did in disobedience to God. Then, in the conclusion of all of this, here's what we read in verse 11. Now, all of these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Jesus reinforced this point when he was discussing with the Pharisees about their worship. And their worship, Jesus says, was based on the tradition of the elders, not God's word. We don't have time, but if you were to read Matthew chapter 15, read those first 9 verses. And it's there that Jesus said, you transgressed the commandment of God because of your traditions. He says, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions. And Jesus says, in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. But also Jesus points out that worship of God must not only be in spirit, but also in truth. Again, John 4 and verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Friends, truth is what God has said. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, when Jesus prayed to the Father. We know that God's utterances, God's word, the scriptures, furnishes man completely. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, truly furnished, truly equipped unto all good works. You know, we marvel at those who, for no reason other than convenience, gather around the table of the Lord on Saturday night for the remembrance of the Lord's death. But both faith and truth reveal that first century Christians assembled to break bread as a memorial to Jesus on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, the disciples gathered together to break bread, and Paul preached unto them in the midnight and continued his speech, ready to depart on the morrow. See, even Paul, who was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem, waited 7 days in Troas to assemble with these brethren. Well, why did they not, for convenience sake, do it on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and that would let Paul get on his journey? But friends, they did not do that, because it is to be upon the first day of the week. Worship is not a matter of convenience. Faith and Truth further teaches that there was something special about the first day of the week. It was the day that Jesus conquered death. It was the day that he met with his disciples on 2 separate occasions after his resurrection. It was the day on which his kingdom came into being, and the disciples regularly assembled. All of this we can read in John 20, verses 1 through 10, Acts chapter 2, and verse 1. And it was upon the first day of the week that they were to lay by in stores, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, teaches. Friends, it's evident that to observe the Lord's Supper on Saturday evening is for convenience. This practice cannot be justified on the basis of faith and truth. Acts 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week, not on the Sabbath day. If men are permitted to modernize worship to fit today's moods, today's times that we live in, then what limits beyond the Bible can any man place on worship? You see, the humanistic approach to God, to his church, and to worship is saying to the world that Christianity can be whatever you want it to be. Christianity can be whatever man chooses. How sad. And more than that, how evil, how sinful. 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Whoso abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Friends, this is a Wednesday, and at 7 o'clock this evening, the Church of Christ that meets at East Albertville, that's at 4777 U.S. Highway 431, will come together. At 7 o'clock, we will have Bible classes for all ages. At approximately 7:30, at a few minutes before 8 o'clock, we will assemble together in the main auditorium for a period of worship. Friends, come and bring your Bibles. Study with us. This is an invitation that we extend to you at all times when the church meets, on Sunday mornings at 9:30, on Sunday evenings at 5, and like today on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you're interested in what only God's Word teaches, if you're interested in only what God would have us to do in worship and serving Him, then you owe it to yourself to come, bring only your Bibles. We'll not ask you for your money. We'll not ask you of anything other than just come, bring your Bibles, observe the things that you hear, see the things that are done, and compare that only with what the Scriptures teach. It's the Scriptures that we're going to be judged by in the Day of Judgment. Friends, we appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.